Direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Grateful that you've tuned in today to this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio. And as you know, on Friday sessions, we love to interact with contemporary Christian culture, looking at certain challenges of ministry today, looking at what the design of ministry should be. And you know, on Abounding Grace, I have often critiqued and wanted to look at scripturally certain models of ministry that have been dangerous. Well, just so that you feel that I'm balanced, I want to look at the opposite extreme today, the opposite danger, the problem of legalism. And I want to look at it from more of our angle, more of what Reformed churches have struggled with, so that you see that this is not just about a pastor critiquing everyone else, but recognizing that there are challenges that every church faces, even our own. To be faithful to the Word, we always have to look at what Scripture teaches. Well, let me start with this. In the western corner of Washington State, just a stone's throw from the Canadian border, is the small town of Linden. Linden is a good old American town of hardworking, honest people, predominantly of Dutch descent, who give great place of on family and community. But there's something else about Linden that makes it worth considering. At one time, Linden held the world's record for most churches per capita and per square mile. Within city limits, there are dozens of churches. This is a remarkable phenomenon when considering that the population is only around 15,000 people. As a pastor in Linden, I have often thought that Linden provides a unique study in American suburban Christianity. Think about it. What happens in a church environment where dozens of churches, merely blocks from each other, are all searching for identity? What becomes of the message and witness of the church in this environment? And what dangers occur among the churches? If you were to survey the church landscape in Linden, certain kinds of religious extremism have occurred. In this radio program today, I want to discuss with you the particular problem of legalism. I have spent considerable time reflecting on the problems of the megachurch model, and there are many. But I recognize that there is also a problem in the opposite direction with Reformed churches and other churches, and you'll see all sorts of things in your communities, who are failing to properly minister the gospel. So I want to interact today with what have been some legitimate concerns, and I'm looking at it through the lens of my own background, my own type of scenario that I minister in, looking at Reformed churches. In my 7 years of ministering here in Linden, I've been shocked over how much antipathy there has been toward Reformed churches. It took me more than a few years to get a handle on why the reaction has been so strong. The sad reality is that many people here have witnessed fighting, church splits, abuses, hatreds, contentions, jealousies, all undergirded by a hard kind of legalism that shows nothing of the joy of Christ. Yes, it's a strong statement, but it's a sad thing for me to admit that some of the ugliest forms of Christianity I have encountered come out of Reformed churches. It's no wonder you have a huge separation that has occurred here among the churches and deep antipathy for anything with the name Reformed. Now, I can't accept what many Christians have proposed as the answer to this problem, where they flop over to the opposite extreme. I do admit, though, that we as Reformed churches, just like any church, should take a serious look at our ministries and understand what is a fair criticism. The New Testament contrasts two very different kinds of ministries. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says that we are ministers of the New Covenant. The contrast the Apostle is making is between the New Covenant and the particular problem of the giving of the law on Sinai, that which he labels a ministry of condemnation. These differences are vital to understand. The contrast is important because each kind of ministry, produces its own kind of fruit in its recipients. Nothing exposes this stronger than when Jesus came upon the Jewish community of his day. The community was under the ministry of condemnation, and the bad tree was bearing bad fruit. The Jewish community was a legalistic, self-righteous club only for those who conformed to the Pharisaical interpretations of the law and the superimposed tradition of the elders. No one could enter the club until there was complete conformity. Full of self-righteous pride, full of it, the Sanhedrin condemned everyone else except themselves. So bad was the problem that the Pharisees would even condemn Jesus and his disciples for not washing their hands properly before eating bread, Matthew 15. This certainly was a practical ministry. It was practically killing the people. The Sanhedrin did nothing but fight over the minutest points of the law. And their whole shepherding of the people proved to be nothing but a heavy-handed yoke to their own destruction. There was no joy, no confidence, no hope, no freedom, only sorrow and guilt, which were tragic byproducts of a ministry that kills. The problem outlined here explains Jesus' crushing approach in the Sermon on the Mount. You know what Jesus was doing in the Sermon on the Mount? He was unleashing the full weight of the law upon a community whose minds were blinded to the need for a perfect righteousness. In other words, they were trusting in themselves. They were proud. They were arrogant. They thought they were doing well with their law keeping. And the Apostle Paul summed it up by saying, "For they, Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." When Christ ministered his righteousness to weary souls, it not only loosed them from bondage, but it ministered a joy that was complete. The contention today on Abounding Grace is that the root problem as to why there has been an antipathy sometimes to Reformed churches and to other churches who are strictly focused on the law is because these churches have failed to communicate what kind of ministry they are ministering to the people. When the above distinctions are absent, the ministry of condemnation becomes the de facto, the in fact ministry of the given church. In other words, this kind of ministry is concerned only to bring people into conformity with the law of God by laying the heavy, fearful burden of its yoke upon the people. This does nothing but kill people without making them alive. The goal of Christian ministry has been forgotten. Consider Calvin's summary of gospel ministry. Many other things undoubtedly are contained in the gospel, but the principal object which God intends to accomplish by it is to receive men into favor by not imputing their sins. If, therefore, we wish to show that we are faithful ministers of the gospel, we must give our most earnest attention to this subject. For the chief point of difference between the gospel and heathen philosophy lies in this, that the gospel makes the salvation of men to consist in the forgiveness of sins through free grace. Calvin here notes that the principal object of all ministry is to lead people to confess sin and receive the free grace of forgiveness offered in the gospel. All other pagan religions focus merely on correcting the behavior of individuals. If the ministry in question that you're under has not made clear that its primary aim is to minister forgiveness and the righteousness of Christ to struggling sinners, the consequences are severe. I say this because Reformed churches are the most effective churches in preaching the full weight of the law. I'm not talking about law light or the practical tip stuff of Joel Osteen and the evangelicals. I'm saying that when Reformed ministers forget that the primary, certainly not only, but the primary aim of all preaching is to bring about forgiveness, they are better than most at unleashing the full weight of the law upon the people to their own hurt. Certain kind of bad fruits follow from this kind of imbalance. In these environments, the church becomes its own kind of club, To really belong, one has to adopt the fine interpretations of the laws the church authorities have defined them and force them above and beyond their own confessions. As these particular distinctives are pounded into the people, the propaganda produces a guilty hold over the people. The people are brainwashed that if they depart from the tradition on any point of the tradition of the elders, they are departing from the only true church and endangering their souls before God. And if this kind of intimidation doesn't work, when exposed, these groups love to retreat into a kind of martyr complex as the last one standing on the truth, or the last 7,000 who've not bowed down the knee to Baal. The pastors, however, are not alone to be blamed in these scenarios. As the fine points of the law are overemphasized, this produces a kind of self-confidence in the tradition itself, and the people tend to become proud in their obedience. The law no longer becomes a rule of gratitude for the believer. Instead, it becomes a rule of self-promotion. I have noticed that the sermons in Reformed churches which receive the most approbation are sermons from the Ten Commandments, particularly the fourth commandment, "Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day." While preaching the law has an important place in Christian preaching, an imbalanced and highly polemical approach tends to produce a different kind of disobedience. As the pastor rails against those who are breaking, for instance, the fourth commandment, the churchgoer develops a confidence in his own conviction and good record-keeping of that commandment. Without realizing it, the pastor is actually presenting to his people a strategy for the promotion of self-righteousness. The law has not been used to lead people into confession and forgiveness of sin, but instead it's become a mechanism either for church or self-promotion. All of this creates kind of a perfect storm that results in a lot of division and fighting. This makes sense. When the gospel's missing from the proclamation and the heavy hand of the law is used to justify one's own position to the condemnation of everyone else, it tends to arouse bad works of the flesh in people. So Paul said in Romans 7, as the works of the flesh are aroused in this way, the ministry is actually moving the people to the inevitable consequence of division, since mutual love and unity is only promoted by those who have been deeply touched by the love of Christ in the gospel. Ultimately, this is why people have reacted to some of the problems in churches. Fighting became bad at times. People ended up walking away from church altogether, or they jumped to the opposite extreme. Doctrinal conviction and restraint were abandoned as they desperately latched on to anything that didn't remind them of the past. Discipline, commitment, doctrine, catechism, structure, evening worship, ties, coats, organs, as everything became governed on how it made one feel in reaction to the legalism. This is enough to say that the Reformed clubbers have done considerable damage. We need to be honest about these criticisms. Reformed churches would do well to consider whether their history of ministering to God's people has promoted the fruits of the Spirit or the works of the flesh. If the latter is what people have experienced, it's no wonder there's been such a reaction against Reformed churches. We have a rich heritage in the Reformed tradition of the doctrines of grace. Hear that, dear listener. That's where it all comes from. Grace was brought about at the time of the Reformation as they broke free from Roman Catholic tyranny. It's time to preach them again. "Woe is me," said the apostle, "if I do not preach the gospel. Woe to the Reformed churches if they bury the very gospel they once uncovered." Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, agradio.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.